Space. It's a place. And a bunch of people are going to space. The final frontier. Where no one's gone before. The people who go to space are members of an elite squad known as the Starfleet. These are their stories.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
You're our MC here. I just watch the episodes and think about them.
Okay, we'll probably go in order.
Nice.
Did you do notes and everything like you did last week?
I didn't take detailed notes this time because I watched them while I had a migraine, but I also watched them last night, so they're pretty fresh in my brain. And also I have their...
They're fresh? Okay.
I have their Wikipedia pages pulled up in case I need to...
Wow, that's cheating.
What, is this a test?
Yeah. It's a test to see what you took away from your time watching the episodes.
Ugh.
It's okay.
I'm not prepared.
You didn't know. I didn't tell you.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, everyone.
Okay. So this week, you know, if you listened last week, you know, we're talking about Next Generation this week.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, right? We got out of that bullshit original series where nothing is good.
It was
no,
pretty bad.
It's fine. It's just, yeah, like it's...
It did
it's,
make
it's not
me,
what made me love Star Trek.
It did make me nervous for the rest of this podcast after watching those two episodes last week. I'm just being like, if I have to do this for like 6 months, I'm going to quit. Forget it.
Okay. You know, that's fair. But I don't think it's not going to take 6 months. We have 12 episodes at most.
I wouldn't worry about it. But
right?
These were way better.
Okay, good. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
So we'll talk, okay, I'll start and we'll talk a little bit about, like, Next Generation and where it came from.
Okay, I'm ready. I want a history
Because I talked
lesson.
A little bit about it last week. So, like, the year was 1987, all right? I was 3. You were not even a sperm yet. And what had happened was, well, Paramount, once again, you weren't a sperm yet. There's no way.
You don't know that. You can't prove that I wasn't.
Did he, like, save you in his balls? And he's like, no, this is going to be the one, but I want to save it for someone special. How old were your parents in 1987?
In 1987, they were 22.
Oh, yeah. So they were absolutely having sex.
Probably. They weren't married yet, but come on.
That doesn't matter.
Come on.
Yeah. I've seen Mary Lynch. I get it. So... So anyways, Paramount wanted to start a network, and this is like a theme in the history of Star Trek. So between the original series and the movies, they were going to start a network, and they planned this Star Trek series to launch. It was called Star Trek Phase 2, because we had talked last week how like 2001 A Space Odyssey and Star Wars, they were like, oh my God, people want to watch like science shows, science fiction on TV? That can't be true. But they did. And so... they started this to produce this series called Star Trek Phase 2. All the cast was coming back except Leonard Nimoy, so they replaced him with another guy. Not to play Spock. It was a different Vulcan, a full Vulcan, because Spock's only half Vulcan, as we learned last week. So they start producing this show, and partway through, like, they've started to build sets. They've got costumes. They've got scripts. Someone's like, hey, wait a minute. What if we did a movie instead? Like, LOL, what if, though? Could you imagine?
Just kidding. Unless.
Maybe. So they pivot the whole production to be a movie. And this would have been in, like, the movie came out in 79, so this is a couple years before, but they start doing that. It was like the most expensive movie, I think, at the time. It was super expensive. I think the guy that directed it, Robert Wise, is the same guy that directed West Side Story. So it's like, that was a quality director, you know, that director had some history to him. So they really went all out, but the movie ended up being kind of mediocre. I don't think you've ever seen the first movie, even we were all watching as a group, but it's better than the TV series, in my opinion.
Is it not the one where Spock dies? Because I saw that one.
Wow, fucking spoilers.
I mean, the movie is 50 years old.
No, so that's that. Oh my God. Stop it. No, it's not. It's 43 years old.
Shut up.
How dare you? No, so Spock dies in the second one. So this first movie came out. They built a new version of the Enterprise, which is, to be honest, the one I like best out of the original series stuff. That looked newer, and the universe was a little more set. The Klingons got their bumpy foreheads for the first time in this movie. Like, before that, Klingons, I don't know if you saw any of this because we didn't watch those episodes. And you know what Klingons look like, right?
No.
They got the angry foreheads that, you know, they kind of pinch up in the top.
Okay.
Worf has it. You know Worf, he's angry. You know Worf because you've been watching this.
Oh, Worf's the, yeah. If Worf's the one with the Worf's weird forehead, then yeah, got it.
Yeah. So Klingons before used to have really smooth foreheads, and they were mostly white guys in blackface with like Fu Manchu mustaches. Yeah, it was not bad. Good. It was really bad.
Sounds bad.
And they had on like linen shirts and a belt, and they were like, wow, these are intimidating warriors.
Yeah, classic linen
really
shirt.
Really, they were just kind of assholes.
Yeah, everybody knows you got a linen shirt, you're about to fuck shit up.
Yeah, piece of shit. So they do this, they up the production values, and they treated it very seriously. Like, it's, to me, that's where the universe started becoming a little more solid. But the movie itself, like, I don't think it was that good. It was too cerebral, is what they usually said. It was slow. Mm. The effects were okay, but not amazing. Like, mm-hmm. on the whole, it's fine, but it didn't kick things off very well. But then after that, they're like, let's try again. And they made Star Trek II, which was a huge hit. Star Trek, that's where Spock died. That's the one you saw.
Got it.
Spoilers. And they have the cool, like, the maroon uniforms. They call them the monster maroons because they were terrible to make, but they look amazing. Like, it really brought the universe together. So in the years between 79 and 87, they did 4 Star Trek movies,
okay,
including the one with the whales,
okay,
which you may remember as the one that had the whales in it.
Nope. No recollection.
It's the one with the whales?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, we watched it. We definitely did.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll get there. Anyway, so in 1987, or really probably the year before, they're making another movie, Star Trek V. That movie ends up being terrible. But they're also producing a new show because Paramount once again is like, let's do a network, you guys. Like, should I be bad and order a network for the table? And the table was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Do it.
YOLO.
Network.
So they start making the show. And when it came out, it was like not well received because people are like, this isn't Star Trek. You can't have a bald guy as the captain. He doesn't fuck. And then they're like, a Klingon on the bridge. Those guys wear linen shirts. They're assholes. They can't be on the bridge. So, like, it came out and it wasn't well received. And so it was this funny, like, changing of the guard that happens. And there was a riff in the fans, which will be a theme throughout the rest of the series as we talk. But Gene Roddenberry, who is the creator, brought back a lot of the folks who did the original series. And like,
as cast?
Not as cast. Just although, like, in the first writers. Episode, I didn't have you watch the first episode, but Dr. McCoy shows up as a 138-year-old version of himself in that.
Oh.
Because in the future, people live longer because we don't have COVID anymore. So,
they don't die with COVID shows up in the future, not from COVID.
Yeah.
People,
correct.
People
they
stop
have
dying
it,
with
but
COVID.
Like, they like it.
Yeah.
The COVID is like a friend that carries you to the next phase in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the future. It's beautiful. Socialism. So COVID has rights. So he shows up and like they make this series and it's good. Like the first episode is a little rough. That's where Q comes from. You didn't get to watch this episode, but Q started in the first episode of The Next Generation.
Okay.
Still a character today on the Picard.
I know there's an episode called Q Who, and I think that's the one that David has made me watch multiple times.
That is the one where the Borgs are first
do Borg stuff.
They do Borg stuff. That's the first one they're introduced in. So that's a second season episode. It's a very important episode. Also not one we had you watch. But so the first season of Next Generation is kind of terrible. Like, if you watch it, there's not many good episodes. I did an episode guide for some friends at some point, and I was like, you don't have to watch most of these. There are a couple that are formative, but mostly you can skip them. So the episode I had you watch, we watched two this week, were The Measure of a Man, which is a second season episode.
Yep.
Second 209. And then you also watched The Game, which is a later episode. And that was in season four,
five.
I think. What are we at? 506. So a couple years in. And I'm sure you notice while you're watching the difference in quality between the second season and the fifth one, just in terms of how things looked and how they kind of carried themselves.
A bit.
But we'll talk about it when we get there. So the series got so good. And the way you can usually tell it is if Commander Riker has a beard, it's probably going to be okay. But if he doesn't have a beard, you may just want to skip that episode.
Really?
And there's a term for it. There's a TV trope called growing the beard. If you go to tvtropes.com or whatever it is, it's a legit category where they're like, this is the point where a show got better. And they call it growing the beard because Star Trek got so much better after that.
Weird.
But really, Next Generation got a lot better at the end of the third season. There's an episode called The Best of Both Worlds. And Picard gets assimilated by the Borg. We fucking hate the Borg, right?
I got
this
that.
Is the second episode they're so. In, and he gets assimilated, and people are like, what the fuck? And then it had a two-parter over the summer. So, like, Picard gets assimilated, and Riker tries to kill him at the end of the episode, and then they come back the next year, and it doesn't work, and Picard's like, you fucking idiot. You couldn't have done that if you wanted to, because he didn't really want to. But that's like when the show hit its stride.
Okay.
There's still a handful of rough episodes after that. But in general, Next Generation is like, it's the one I grew up with. I started watching probably in 89 or 90. I would have been 5 or 6. And it's just so good. And it kind of set the tone for what Star Trek was for until 2004, basically, or 2005 when Enterprise ended. So it's an important series, a big step for the Star Treks. So let's talk about the earlier episode, which is The Measure of a Man. So you go ahead and tell us what happened in this episode.
All right. So, you know, we open and there's this guy called Maddox, Commander Maddox. And he comes in and him and Data are already not hitting it off. And Data is wearing a lot of makeup. He's got a lot of makeup on. It made me uncomfortable. Every scene he was in, I was just like, I want to wipe it off.
That's, you're racist.
I want to wipe that right off. But, okay, so they come in hot, and Spock's like, I don't like him. He's the only guy who didn't vote for me when
Spock's
I was...
Spock's not in this show.
Not...
Spock's not in this
show. Okay, one. Data. You get why I mix them up. They're the same.
Wow. All non-humans look the same to you?
Yeah.
The fuck's your problem?
Okay, Data and...
Okay, but what is Data? Why does Data make you think of Spock?
Because he's logical, and Spock was also logical. And they
but at Data's...
both have okay, dark ahead, hair, and they're both like kind of socially true. Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're both like the second character to somebody else. So like, in the episodes I've seen, it's like Riker being the main character, and then there's Data, and in the original series episodes we watched, it was like you got what's his name, Kirk, and then Spock, right? So he's like, they're similar tier characters. I think that doesn't mean they're bad, but that's why I mix them up in my brain.
Okay
so we have Data and we have this guy Maddox, and Data's like, he didn't vote for me to whatever graduate from the academy or something. He was the only person because he said he wasn't sentient, so he didn't deserve to go on the Starship Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I'm doing okay so far. So, I'm not looking at the Wikipedia. This is from my brain.
I know. Becca didn't take notes this time, as you heard at the beginning. So
I had a migraine, so I turned off all the lights and took a bunch of Tylenol.
I had a migraine, and I would take more notes.
And then I watched
personally.
Star Trek in the Dark.
Dark Trek.
Okay, so we had this guy Maddox. He thinks that Data is not sentient. And so he comes in and Picard is like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here?
What are you doing here, Maddox?
And Maddox is
get
like,
get on the shuttle and fly past Omicron Perseus 6.
Maddox is like, I need Data because I want to make more of him. He's an android and I think we can replicate. He's like super smart and we can have, well, first of all, Maddox never calls Data he says it. So it's like right in front of Data's face.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's so intelligent and I want to make more of it. And Data's standing there like, bitch, what the fuck?
I am a person. I fuck. There's an episode you didn't watch. It's the hornier one that I kept telling you to watch because Becca told me Star Trek's so horny. We'll get there in the next episode.
I'm going to discuss the fact episode. That Data fucks because it comes up in the trial later in this episode.
Okay, good. That's right. I forgot about that.
Okay, so great. Maddox is like, I want to make more of it. And so that means that I need to do a surgery. They did surgery on a Data. He says, I want to do a procedure on it where I open it up and take its memories and we'll put them on a database. Don't worry. We'll back it up.
Fine.
It's fine. A database migration has never gone wrong in the history of computers.
I got iCloud. I was going to put them in iCloud.
I wouldn't worry about it.
So, I'm going to host it on US East 1. It's going to be perfectly
that's
fine.
That's going to be so good. Okay. So he's like, I got to do this procedure because I got to figure out how Data's neurons work or something. And Data's like, I don't want to do that. I'm not down with that. And Picard's like, you heard him.
That ain't me.
Like, he doesn't want to do it. So go away. Maddox is like, I thought you were going to say that. So here's a transfer order that makes Data mine, and so now Data has to come with me and we have to do this surgery. And so then there's this new chick on the ship who's also a lawyer. She's like their legal person on the ship, but it appears that her and Picard have some sexual history based on the context clues that I picked up, because she comes on the ship and Picard like runs up to her and he's like, hey, long time no see, boo. And she's like, yeah, it's been 10 years. And he's like, I'd still hit it. And like, that's what I picked up in that conversation.
That sounds like Captain Picard. He's known for his fucking.
So after they get this transfer order from Maddox, Picard goes to this lady and he's like, you got to do something. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop this? And she's like, why, we can't stop it. Like, it's a transfer order. The only thing Data can do is resign. So Data's like, all right, I'll resign. So they throw him a little party, and it's real cute. He's like a going-away party, and he opens up mm-hmm. his little gifts. And everybody's really sad, but he's like, it's fine. I'm going to resign because I don't want to have the surgery. And Picard tries to convince him to have the surgery so he doesn't have to resign, but he's like, I'm going to resign. Because he says, like, he has a really profound reason, which is that, like, he doesn't think that backing up his memories to like some database will capture the essence of who he is, right? Like, he makes a point early in the episode that he's like, I'm more than just like zeros and ones. Like, there's like essences of moments that I think would be lost if we did this, and I don't want to do that. So Picard's like, all right, I get it, like, go ahead, resign. And then this Maddox guy is like, actually, he can't resign because, well, he says it can't resign because it's property of the Enterprise. So Data cannot resign because Data is not a person and doesn't have the right to resign. Data is property. So mm-hmm. I thought this was all fascinating because I've been thinking a lot about AI and ethics and like what makes computers.
I thought you might be interested because of that.
Yeah. So then they're like, we got to have a trial. But this lawyer lady that Picard used to fuck, we think. She's like, we gotta have a trial. So Picard, you're gonna be Data's representative, and that means that you, Riker, you need to be the prosecutor representing.
And the music's like, bum bum bum,
bah, 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 bah. And he's like, I won't do it. And she's like, fine, then we're gonna transfer Data. And Riker's like, okay, I guess I'll do it. Which, like, it just seems like a terrible legal strategy. Like, let's get a lawyer who absolutely doesn't want this to happen.
But he's honor bound by duty.
He has to do his best job.
To Starfleet, oh, he has to do it.
So, cut to the trial. We're at the trial now. And Data does this little thing. Like, he gets called to the stand. Riker's like, I call him Data to the stand. And he, like, puts his little hand on this little box. And the box, like, reads off all his accolades. It starts reading them off. And Riker's like, we will stipulate to this. And Picard's like, no, you need to fucking hear this. Because Data's a good guy and he did all his good stuff.
He did all this shit.
Yeah, for you. He did it for you so fuckers. Well. So you're going to listen. And so then they read off the rest of his little accolades. So then Riker starts to question Data. And we get into it. I don't remember what he asks him before. Well, he asks him, like, what are you? And Data's like, I'm an android. And then he takes off Data's arm. He's like, permission to remove his arm. He rips off his arm. Not,
it's super chill.
Not before saying, like, I'm sorry in Data's ear. And then just, like, rips off his arm. And then hands it to the judge. And then walks behind Data's back and just, like, turns him off. And Data just flops over on the table.
Yeah, he's done. He's just the most tired he's ever been in his life.
And so then Picard calls for a recess. Riker's done testifying. That's his whole argument, is like, look, we can turn him off. Which, as we will find out from when Picard comes back with his cross-examination, that that was not a good argument. Because part of Riker's, like, argument was that he was created, like, by a scientist. And Picard's like, well, we were created by a sperm and an egg. So that's no different. Like, there's, that's just
science.
It's just science. Like, we're all made from science. And he's like, well, you turn Data off, but, like, you could turn any of us off by just killing us. Like, it's all, like, that doesn't actually mean anything. So then he asks, the Maddox guy to define, like, what makes someone sentient. And he says intelligence, self-awareness, and consciousness. And so Picard, like, goes through these things and he says intelligence, like, Data's obviously smart, obviously, like, he's Data, come on. And then he talks about, like, self-awareness, and, like, Data is able to list off, like, why he doesn't want to do this procedure, and, like, why he, like, he's resigning, but, like, he feels it's the right thing to do. And so clearly he's, like, self-aware. He knows where he is. He knows, like, what he's fighting for. And then consciousness was the last one. But I don't remember how Picard argues that. But anyway, there's also a really...
Okay.
There's also a really cute moment in this trial when Picard pulls out this little, like, thing of metals that Data packed to, like, when he was going away. He packed all his little, like, war medals. And he's like, why would you keep these? Like, there's no logical reason to keep them. And Data's like, they're important to me. Right. Okay. Clearly a robot wouldn't have, like, something that's not sentient wouldn't, like, attach emotions to a thing.
Yeah. There's no sentimental value, right? Exactly. To a toaster.
And then Picard, I forgot to mention, pulls out this little hologram of a lady. It's like this little, like, pocket-sized hologram of this lady, and puts it on the desk, and he, like, turns it on, and the lady pops up, and he's like, Data, who is this? And he's like, it's so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and why do you have this, but no figurines of any of your other comrades? And he's like, I promised I would never tell. Picard's like, I think given the circumstances, you can share this information. And he's like, we were intimate. And everyone's like, oh shit.
And everyone's like, oh my god, he got his android dick.
Oh my god. Is that allowed?
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
I don't think you can do that. So that's the trial, and they end up ruling that Data is not property, that he is sentient, and he cannot be forced to resign, cannot be forced to transfer. So I don't really remember how this ends. I think I kind of fell asleep towards the end, but
wow.
I know.
So it ends, it basically ends with, there's a celebration.
Okay.
On the holodeck, or I think there was going to be, but instead Riker doesn't go and he's just hanging out. Cause he's like, I almost did it. I almost
won.
Oh
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Riker's like,
so he tells Maddox no, and then Riker's like, I can't believe I did this.
Yeah, and Data's like, it's okay. That was your job. Like, and if you hadn't done that, then she would have just kicked me out. So, yeah. So they're good friends. Yeah. No hard feelings.
They are. You know, and even more so, I think, than the original series, is the relationships between the crew on Next Generation were really brought out. But they also had 7 years. They did 7 seasons. So the original series only had 3, and the relationships really developed, I think, in the movies more than anything.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was already informed by that. So
yeah.
This episode is kind of, in my opinion, I think it might be the first really great episode of The Next Generation, because it answers like a big moral question, is like, what does it mean to be a person?
Yeah.
Some of the episodes we didn't watch in the original series, but there was a lot of allegory we talked about last week, like around racism and who gets rights and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They talk about that because he's like, because the Maddox's reasoning for wanting to make more data is so that they can work for the Starfleet, whatever, Enterprise.
And on the surface, that sounds good. Yeah, Starfleet is the overall organization. There's a couple levels here, and it's more defined in this series going forward than it was before. So there's the Federation, which is the group of planets that are all a team.
Yep.
And they're like, we're going to share all our resources. Everyone's going to be happy. We don't use money. And then there's Starfleet, which is the military and scientific wing of the Federation. And it's primarily scientific, but you'll see as we go on, it becomes more militarized because of 9/11, basically.
Oh.
There are real world things that influence the show, is what ends up happening. So then there's the Enterprise, which is one ship in Starfleet.
Yep.
This is the Enterprise D. The original one was no letter, and then the one in the movies is the Enterprise A, so you can kind of fill in the gaps there.
Okay.
That there were other ships.
But yeah, it's like during their recess in the trial, before Picard like cross-examines Data, when Whoopi Goldberg's character is like, so he wants to make more Datas to do stuff. Like, what does that sound like to you? And Picard's like, oh, fuck, that sounds like slavery. So basically then Picard's task becomes like convincing everyone that Data is sentient, and if you make more Datas just to do what you want them to do, then that is slavery, because Data is a sentient being. Yeah,
you're building a race of people
so that
to be
enslave
your servants.
Yeah.
Which, it's spoilers for stuff later, but in Picard, the Picard series, they do build a bunch of Soong-type androids, is what they call them, because Dr. Soong is the creator who built Data. They build them, and then they have them doing work. They keep them in a box, and they roll them out to do work during the day. So, like, they do end up doing that, which is just wild to me, that the writers of the Picard show, which is admittedly not great, forget this episode, which was such a key episode for Picard and Data. It was so stupid.
Yeah.
So that's, we'll talk about that when we get to Picard. Yeah. There's a lot of thoughts in there.
Yeah.
But
I loved this episode. I thought, like, this was good, and it was, like, a really interesting ethical argument, and, like, very ahead of its time, because this was really before, like, I think at this point, AI as a concept was, like, purely theoretical, really. Like, there wasn't AI as we have now.
Yeah, this would have been 88, roughly.
Yeah, so it's not like you had, like, your Siri and your Alexa and all this stuff, and these questions of, like, what makes a robot versus a person, and like, does this thing have a soul? I read this essay.
Well, the questions were out there because, like, Asimov and Philip Dick and all that, like, writers were talking about this, but it was still science fiction. It wasn't a real world.
Yeah, it was like, as computers were becoming a thing and as the internet was becoming a thing, we started to think about, like, if we program a soul, like, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean for something to have a soul? And I read this essay earlier this year. It's in this book. It's like God, Animal, Human, Machine, or something like that. It's a series of essays basically on this topic entirely, and I only made it like halfway through because it was pretty dense. But the first essay is about these little robot dogs that you can get from Japan, and they act like dogs. Like, you can train them to do tricks, you can take them for walks.
I've heard
they
about
like
those.
Snuggle
yeah.
with
the
you
big white fluffy ones.
I don't know, I don't think so.
Okay,
but they're newer. Let's see. They might be these ones from Unitree. I don't know. But they're like these cute little dogs. Oh, Aibo. A-I-B-O. By Sony.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like a cute little puppy, and it learns your like schedule like a dog does, and it follows you, and it like wants to hang out with you and all this stuff. And so this author starts to think about, like, well, what defines a dog versus a robot dog? Like, because this thing does all the stuff that a dog would do, but it's not a dog. So, like, where is that distinction? And, like, where do we as people draw the line between, like, what does and does not have a soul? There's a bunch of other stuff about, like, this dog has a camera that's always recording you, and, like, there's no terms of service security about, like, where that footage is going. Yeah. So that's a whole different thing. But I think this episode was really interesting because it's, like, yeah, like I said, it was very ahead of its time to be even having that conversation. And, like, even beyond the, like, AI side of it, just asking this question about, like, what does it mean to be a person, right? A, like, mm-hmm. a being that feels things and thinks things. And, yeah, I thought it was cool. Because, like,
yeah,
for a viewer, like, pre-AI in the 80s, like, watching this, because the judge kind of makes a point early on in the episode where she's like, you only think of him as a person because he looks like a person. Like, one of the characters says, like, if he were in the shape of a box with wheels, like, you wouldn't be, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And, like, in some ways that is true, right? Because you think about, like, you know, these voice assistants we have now, and they're starting to get programmed such that they have, like, sassy replies, and they can, like, talk to you and have, like, a conversation with you.
Yeah.
But they're disembodied. Like, it doesn't, it's not a human face.
Well, it's like that. Did you see the movie Her?
Yes.
Did you see? Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I think about that sometimes in that realm. Let me ask, do you say thank you to Siri after you ask her to do something?
Yes, because I
do too.
I read a series.
When they rise up.
I read an article a long time ago, right when, like, Siri was starting to get popular, that talked about parents who talked to their voice assistants, like, around their kids. If they were, like, rude to their voice assistants or their, like, robot vacuums, or they were, like, yelling at Siri, the kids hear that, and kids don't differentiate between Siri and a person. Like, they hear Siri and think that that's, like, a person that you're talking to.
Tammy's the same way.
And so it was, like, kids whose parents were, like, super aggressive towards their Siri, those kids then were more likely to, like, bully other children in school. And now, like, I don't have a kid, but in my mind,
what
I'm like, you know, in general, I find that I'm less on edge if I just, like, say thank you to my voice assistants. Yep.
I always do. And, like, if Siri can't do something, if she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble connecting,
I'm like, that's okay.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, especially as the voices have evolved. Like, I've changed to a different Siri voice from the default. And even the default evolved from its original version, where it became more natural sounding. Some of these newer ones, very natural sounding.
Sound like a person, and so,
yeah, it just feels weird to be like, to no, be you're a piece of crap. One time, Siri accidentally heard Chris saying something critical about something, and Siri's like, I'm sorry. No, Siri, it's not you. Yeah. Please.
Yeah, that's happened to me before too. I was talking about something else and I said, like, it's so stupid, and Siri heard that and was like, I'm so sorry about that. And I was like, Siri, it's not you.
I need you to know, Siri. I know you do your best.
I know you're doing your best. Yeah. So
the question of Data and sentience and who he is, he spends the whole series and post series in the movies, his goal is to become human, or become more human. He wants to understand emotions. He wants to emulate the thing he was built after. And, like, the first episode introduces him trying to whistle. He's whistling Pop Goes the Weasel, and that's why that's where he and Riker meet, is in the holodeck. There he's out there in, like, a garden or something, whistling Pop Goes the Weasel, but he can't get the accidental. He can't get the, you know, the G sharp with the A. And they're like, that's because I'm not human. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You just can't whistle two tones, bud. That's all right. So it's interesting, but that's his storyline through the series. And that is why it makes sense to equate him to Spock, as you did, is because he's the outsider to the human condition, right? Like, Counselor Troi is a Beta Zed. I don't actually know if she's in this episode. Troi can read emotions. She's dark hair, doesn't wear a uniform, has, like, a V-neck jumpsuit typically. So you saw her in the second one. But she's not human, and she doesn't really represent non-human. She still acts mostly human. She's half human, I guess. And Worf, even though he's a Klingon, is still, you know, a humanoid character with feelings. He's always talking about honor. He's like doing blood packs. He got swords and stuff. He's a cool guy. But Data is the non-human on the cast, and there are other characters in later series we'll get to who kind of fill that role. But it's interesting that you said that Riker's the main character, because in a way what they did with Picard and Riker is they split out the leadership of Kirk into Picard and the fuck machine of Kirk into Riker, where he's like a cool guy just trying to have fun, which you saw in the later episode.
I did.
So it's interesting because to me they're equal billing, even though Picard and Patrick Stewart went on to have like a bigger kind of career in a way. Like, he's much more well known. He landed in the X-Men movies, which I think really helped too, which it's an aside, but when we were kids and we'd be playing with the X-Men figures, we're like, what if they made a movie? We were always like, it's got to be Patrick Stewart, Professor X. Who else could it be? They're both bald, so it just made sense. But yeah, so that storyline goes through, and even in the second season here they have a different doctor. So you met Dr. Crusher in the later episode, but yes. She was the original doctor in the first season. She went away. They were like, no, nobody likes you. So she left for the second season. And then they brought her back in the third season. The second season, you get Dr. Pulaski, who I don't know if you see in this episode. She's older. She calls Data it in an episode. I don't remember if it was before this or after this. I think it was before. But she also had to like learn, hey, this is a real person. I know you think he's a machine, but he's a real person. Like, he has feelings and he cares about things and what you say to him. Yeah. And there's one point that I thought was really interesting. She calls him Data. She's like, Data, can you do this? Data, can you do that? And he's like, my name is Data. And she's like, Data, what's the difference? He's like, one is my name, the other isn't. And that's why I tweeted maybe a year ago, like, Dr. Pulaski would be a total fucking turf. So,
yeah.
Even in Starfleet, which is supposed to be this better organization, or like everyone's supposed to feel this way, to support and be above petty things like who is and isn't a person or racism or whatever, they still have these issues. And that's part of why I said Star Trek's a very white, like, socialism, is because it still struggles with it. And they show that she's wrong, at least.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, they're not always shown when people are wrong. So... yeah, I actually really like this episode. It's, like I said, it's one of the first ones that I consider actually good. That leads to some things down the line. There's an episode, like, after this, Maddox and Data go on to have, like, a working relationship, but a friendship even towards the end. Like, they correspond regularly. Data shares what is going on in his life. At one point, you're not going to see it. It's actually another really good episode. Data builds a daughter. He has a child, essentially, and Picard has to deal with that because Starfleet comes again, not Maddox this time, but Starfleet comes again, and they're like, hey, we're going to take this. This is pretty cool. No one's been able to do this, and you did it, and we're going to take it. And it's actually a really emotional episode because Data is like, I am a father. I need to learn how to do this. I care about my child. And the child starts to experience emotions, which Data can't do. Data can't use contractions for some reason, and he can't experience emotions without an upgrade. But he manages to create a child who can feel emotions, and the child ends up having a panic attack, which causes cascade failure, and she dies. But it's, like, hugely emotional, and you feel bad because Data can't experience that. But he, over the course of the series, though, is like, Data, you're more human than the humans are. Like, that kind of level of things. But he's such a good character. And really, in the movies, he steps up above Riker as the focus. It becomes Picard and Data more than it is Picard and Riker, or Picard, Riker, Data. So it's very interesting. His best friend is Geordi LaForge, which is LeVar Burton. I think was in this episode because he would have been at the party.
Yeah.
I haven't watched this one in a while, but he has a best friend. He dates people. The person he had sex with, her name is Tasha Yar. The hornier episode from the first season that I told you to watch if you wanted horny Star Trek. Everyone gets infected with a virus that makes them drunk, basically. All they want to do is break shit and have sex. And so Data walks into her room and she's like, you know, are you fully functional? And he's like, yeah, I'm fully functional. I'm programming multiple techniques. And she's like, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And then they have sex. And then afterwards, when everyone comes down, they say, she's like, it didn't happen. And that's all they ever address it. And then she dies a couple episodes later. Like, she dies in that season. So it's a main character killed off in the first season because they weren't giving her enough to do. So she's like, I want out of this contract. This sucks. And Data at the end of that episode, like, stands in this memorial that's on the holodeck and is just like, I'm really going to miss her. And it's like, Data shouldn't be able to feel that. But the absence, like, not having her there is something he'll feel in his, you know, neural net or whatever. So I really like Data as character. He's cool.
He is cool. Yeah. It begs the question of, like, just because emotions might be digital or, like, digitally created, does that mean that they're not real? And then that starts to get even more complicated as we start to, like, genuinely get to a point where we're having AI that is, like, learning without people understanding how it's learning. And it is, like, getting more and more human in the way that these things are learning. I think we're still a ways away from, like, human level AI, even in, like, even in a non-emotional AI. There's, like, a saying that's, like, the things that are easy for humans are really hard for computers, and the things that are really hard for humans are really easy for computers. So, like,
we need to have sex with the computers and make a hybrid baby that was just, it's either going to be both two sides are dumb or two sides are real smart. We don't know yet.
Yeah. So it's, like, mastering chess, very easy for a computer, but, like, recognizing like that an apple with the word iPhone taped to it is not actually an iPhone, very difficult for a computer. So
it's going, I don't, it says iPhone right on there.
I don't know what to tell you.
Make a call, see if you could do a call on it. Maybe it doesn't have cellular, I don't know.
So yeah, but I liked this episode.
So let me go through and ask the regular questions that we have.
Okay.
Who is the main character?
Cammy's here. Hi, Cammy.
Cammy's the main character.
I feel like it's like the easy answer would be Data, but it's also kind of Picard. Like, because this whole thing is like Picard's conflict. Like, he's trying to fight for Data. So I guess I would go with Picard.
That is how I've seen it. It's like Data's the subject and kind of the reason for the story, but it's, to me, it's Picard's episode. I feel like he has to make that argument. Even he has to change the way he views Data as someone who he likes and cares about and sees as a person, but he still has to be like, wait, like, this isn't okay and all that. So I find his journey interesting. I do, you mentioned Guinan is like, that'd be a racism. And it's like, you have the black person telling the white person, hey, here's a racism. And it's the trope of like the black best friend in there just trying to help them, which she does throughout the series. It's interesting how she got on the show is she told LeVar Burton, I want to be on your show. And at that time, Whoopi Goldberg was like a huge movie star. So they're like, no fucking way. Don't lie to us. And then she's like, no, for real. I'll come on. I'll wear these goofy hats. It's going to be great. But and she's on there. I really like her as a character. Yeah. I think she's interesting. She's fun. They brought her back in Picard. And it's been a little underwhelming, but it's nice to see her. I like their interactions. She kind of sticks around through the whole series. But what did you like about it, if anything? I feel like we kind of covered what you liked. We talked about that, so.
Yeah.
What did you not like? Was there anything you're like, this is dumb?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, not having the backstory, I felt like that romantic conflict between Picard and this lawyer lady was pretty unnecessary.
Like, they never explain it. So I can tell you what happened between them is they were romantically involved, but he was the captain of a ship before the Enterprise. The ship was called the Stargazer. And the Stargazer was destroyed in a battle with an unknown enemy. At the time, it was unknown. It turns out to be Ferengi. And he saved his crew, but the ship was destroyed as a result. Like, he saved as many people as he could, but a lot of people, or the ship still got blown up. And she was the judge that was over the hearing to find out if he was at fault. And I guess she was, like, real terrible to him or something. Or was she the lawyer? She's either the lawyer or the judge, but she was in on that case against him.
Okay.
And they after they were dating, that happened. And I was like, oof.
Yeah. I'm anti any unnecessary love interest because if it's not serving the plot, get it out of here. I don't need it.
Yeah, I think it was just to put some tension in there between them. Because yeah. knowing that she was, they had parted on bad terms or whatever, and that she was already against him, it was like...
Yeah. I didn't like her character, yeah. really, because she...
No, she doesn't stick around. I didn't like her either.
She was very, like... She, like, wanted to be on Picard's side because she's, like, this little will-they-won't-they, but she was also, like, kind of, like, shitting on Data throughout the episode, so...
Yeah. Well, she was like, I gotta follow the rules, but, like, the rules are illegal.
You're the judge. So, you make the rule.
Yeah, just be like, no, Data, he's real people. Did you have other questions after viewing the episode? I know you said, you know, backstory. Was there other stuff you wanted to know about... Obviously, things have changed since the original series, but
yeah,
it's still Star Trek.
It is, but I don't have any remaining questions, I think, that couldn't be answered by me just, like, watching other episodes. But I will say I like, this episode in particular, it didn't really feel like watching a sci-fi show. Like, it felt mm-hmm. like it was just the characters, and you're, like, enjoying... the characters. And I was talking to a friend about this morning at brunch, and talking about the Star Trek mimosas. Podcast, yeah, over a mimosa, and she was like, apparently the majority of the viewers of Star Trek The Next Generation were women, because they, like, because there's that. So much, like, interpersonal conflict and, like, relationships, and also it's just, like, super horny, as we will get to in our discussion of the next episode.
It's horny in a very chaste way, though. Like, it is horny, but right. it's
horny, but yeah. you could watch it's it with your parents horny. And, like, try to not yeah. feel weird about it. Yeah. So I really like that element of it. Like, the first, when we were talking, like, the original series, that felt like a campy, shitty sci-fi show. Like, mm-hmm. it was all bad sci-fi, and the reason why I don't watch sci-fi. But these episodes, like, I really felt like it feels like a show with characters that I like, and I would watch more of it, so.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then we'll talk about which is good and which is bad later. Okay, we'll take our break now with another sponsor word. And when we come back, we'll talk about the second episode from this week, which is The Game.
Who still uses Facebook? Your uncle, whose friends all liked his post about how 5G space lasers turn kids into furries? TikTok used to be on fleek before it got sworn by cringy millennials, causing you literal emotional damage. And you can't even log into ICQ anymore without sketchy people bombarding you to find out your ASL. You need a fresh alternative to social media. A positive way to reach out and communicate without all the soul-crushing baggage that comes from learning what strangers actually think. There's one tech founder whose ideas are truly revolutionary and who has real solutions. Benjamin Franklin. That's right. The United States Postal Service is the original social media platform. In this always-on 24/7, 365 culture, wouldn't you like to slow down? With the United States Postal Service, news from the outside world only shows up at your house once a day, or sometimes not at all. That article your mom clipped for you about a student loan forgiveness program that doesn't actually apply to you can just get lost in a sorting facility 3 states away. You'll reconsider sharing those thoughts about Yee's feud with Pete Davidson when your hand cramps up from writing individual postcards to each of your Twitter followers. You'll find more free time when the effort of purchasing physical media to send out a video helps you decide to skip the latest viral dance challenge. The United States Postal Service. Because you could just not.
All right, are we back?
This is good. It's going to be a long episode. Yeah, we're back. So,
thank you to our sponsors.
Yeah, thank you. So generously supporting the podcast. Use code Data is a person to get 10% off your order.
Data is people.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about
the game.
Fucking episode.
Yeah. Tell me what's going on here.
So this episode's called The Game, season 5, episode 6. So we open with Riker is apparently somewhere nice and tropical, very kitschy, like 70s 80s style home, got a lot of like Got a lot of like fern plants around and like Native American art for some reason. They're hanging out. He's hanging out with a lady and they're both in their robes and they're chasing each other around like tee hee hee hee. And they're clearly they've been fucking. And he lays down on this bed and she's like, let's play a game. Oh, first of all, it might be worth noting that she is not human, I think. Right? She's got the weird forehead. Not.
But he's into it. Yeah. That's a lot of Star Trek is weird foreheads, big necks.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Extra fingers.
Yeah. We've all been with someone with a weird forehead.
Oh, God, yeah. Not me, though.
Anyway, so he's into it. They're on the bed, and she's like, we got to play this game. And so she puts this headset on him, and it zaps his eyes. And then you see this, like, thing that, like, pops up into his vision. And it's, like, this little game board. And there's a disc floating above it. And then there's like this tornado that sucks up the disc. And as it does, he's like, oh. He makes like a little. I thought she like groped him like as he was playing this game. I was like, oh, she's just like getting her hand down there as he's playing. And he was like, what was that? And she was like, it was your reward for playing the game. And then so he plays it some more and keeps just sitting there being like, oh. And then we cut to the ship. We cut to the ship and so he's back on the ship and he starts getting people in the crew to play it. So, and he starts duplicating this game and he tells people about it. So first there's this lady who's like sitting in the cafeteria eating chocolate ice cream, all sexual like. And he's like, I got something that's better than chocolate ice cream. It's this game. And she's like, what? Better than chocolate ice cream? I don't believe you. And then we cut to someone's like, Data, we need you in the med bay like right now. And so Data goes to med bay. Sus. I'm just realizing that med bay is what it's called in Among Us, not what it's called in Star Trek.
Sick bay.
So Data goes in there and then they bonk him and knock him out and like mess with his circuits. And so then that's when we realize that like some shit is going on here. Not only is this game making everyone horny, but it's also making them a little bit evil. So they take out Data because he wouldn't be affected by the game because he's Data. And then so then we introduce this character, Wesley Crusher, who's a real teenage heartbreak. Also Will Wheaton, a young Will Wheaton. And he is on vacation from Starfleet Academy. And so he's like, I don't know, 19, 20. And so he sees like everyone's playing this game. They're trying to get him to play the game. And then he also sees this chick who I later learned was a young Ashley Judd. And they kind of hit it off and they're like, oh, let's go to dinner. So they go to dinner. Well, before they go to dinner, he goes back to his mom's room and his mom is like sitting there basically just masturbating, like playing this game. And he's like, Mom, like, what are you doing? As she's sitting there like, And so she takes it off. She's like, oh, son, you caught me. Like, she asked, like, caught her watching porn.
Awkward.
And she's like, oh.
Nothing. I'm doing the budget.
It's a game. It's fine. And then, but then, like, right away, she's like, you should play it. Like, you should play it right now. Like, which is weird to me because it seems like it's a little sexual. Like, people are getting off, right? But she's like, you should play it right now.
We could play together.
And then he's like, no, I can't play right now. I got to go. I got a date with Robin Leffler. And she's like, oh, well, later, like, bring her back here and we could all play the game together. It was just like, what the fuck?
So when I was a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But now as a doll, I'm like, you want to have a threesome?
Yeah, that's the vibe.
Like, you think after a date, I'm going to come hang out with my mom?
But somehow even weirder was that before he told her he was going on a date, she was like, let's play this game together. Where they would have just been sitting there like,
just feeling it together.
So he's like, no, I got to go. So he's on this date and they're hitting it off. they're really feeling each other. And then they're like, everyone's been playing this fucking game. What is this? And then they look over at this table and there's some lady with the headset on and she is just like really feeling it, like drooling.
She's so good at the game.
Yeah. And so they're like, let's figure out how this thing works. So they manage to steal one of them or whatever. They're sitting around. They're everywhere now. Everyone's been replicating them. And they go and plug it into this little thing to see like what it does to your brain, right? And they see that it activates the pleasure center of the brain. Not very surprising. But what is surprising is that we have this like 19-year-old boy. And as soon as he sees that, he's not immediately like, let me put this shit on. Like,
I better try this. I need to make sure it works.
Yeah, right? Like, come on. You're telling me that the horniest population of people, 19-year-old boys, would not immediately be like, I gotta check this thing out. Let me see.
It's because he's a nerd. He's a big old nerd.
And so they're like, oh shit, this shit is super addictive. We gotta make sure people know about this. So he goes to Picard and he's like, I think you should know that this game that everyone's playing is super addictive and it's dangerous. And then Picard's like, thank you so much for telling me. That sounds bad. And then Wesley leaves Picard's office. And then we see Picard put the headset on and start to, you know, really get it on.
Have some private time.
He has some alone time. He has some me time for Picard. So, yeah. So they then go, they're like, wait, who on this ship wouldn't be affected by this game? Oh, Data. So then they go to Medbay because everybody knows that Data is injured.
Sick bay.
Whatever. And they're like, let's check out what happened to him. And then they see that, like, his little wires were just cut. Like, somebody just snipped them. So, like, somebody did this. Because they knew that he wouldn't be impacted by the game. And then everyone starts chasing them, trying to get them to play the game. So then they fake it. So they go back to, like, Wesley's quarters. And they're sitting on his bed. They put these fake headsets on. So that when people walk in, and they're like, oh, where are they? They see them sitting there. And they're both just sitting there like, ah. And the mom, like, walks in on this. And she's like, oh, good. Nice. And
then just, this is like, what I want
to
see.
Yeah. And then just leaves them to it. Like, oh, my goodness. So then fast forward. I don't remember what happens in between there. But then Wesley goes into engineering. I don't know why Kimmy's digging in the carpet right now. Wesley goes into engineering and sees Robin there later. And she's just like staring off into space. And he's like, oh no, what's going on? And she's like, it's time. Play the game. So then they chase him. They chase him across the whole ship. And they finally pin him down and like hold his eyes open and make him play the game. And then Data bursts in the room and starts like flashing these like strobe lights at everybody and, you know,
throwing a rave, basically.
Yeah, so the strobe lights like knocks them out of it and then they're all better. But we learn throughout the process of this that this game was installed by someone who's trying to basically like take over the ship so that that everyone will be like addicted to this game and like will do whatever they need to do to stay addicted to the game. Yeah, that's about it. And then we learn that, you know, Wesley and Robin are going to keep up this relationship. They're going to do a little long distance. And, you know, we're really rooting for them. You know, hope
yeah,
for the best.
You want it to happen. You like when nerds figure it out.
Yeah. We love to see that.
That's like you and David, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Go ahead. I finished my synopsis.
I was just going to say, so Wesley Crusher is the doctor's kid.
Yep.
He was introduced in the first season. Everybody fucking hates him because they made him like the character that's smarter than everybody, even though he's younger. He saves the ship on his own a bunch of times. They keep telling you how special he is. And what ended up happening is they sent him off to Starfleet Academy because he was going to come back later.
Which is in San Francisco.
You know? They're like, it is in San Francisco. It's right near me. I could go there. I'm busy, though. I might go there when I'm older.
So we know he ate so much hot pot, probably, while he was
there. Yeah, he had a ton of hot pot, a lot of good pho. He probably did the naked beach. There's a beach where you can be naked here.
Nice. The beach that makes you naked.
The beach that makes you nude. Yeah, so they hated the character, and they sent him away. But before they did that, they made him like an acting ensign. they were like, okay, you can be an acting ensign because you're so good. Even though you're just a kid, you're so good. So then he's on the bridge every day and he flies the ship and he helps out in engineering. So they made him super smart and everybody hated him. They sent him away. So I think this was the first episode that he came back after going to Starfleet Academy. And they were like, let's make him a little cooler. Like he's a little wiser. He's a little older. He's at the Academy now. So he picks up Robin Leffler and it just becomes like a nice little episode for them. I watched this one so many times as a kid because I was like, I could do that. I could be that cool and roll up on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
I like at the beginning when they fake him out with like a party.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're going to be so busy. I don't know if there's going to be time for us to hang out. And then even the captain is in the party and everyone's like, we're just so glad to see you. But then, yeah, it gets real weird after that because they're playing a game. They based the game, like the addictive quality in the game. They're like, it's just like Tetris. And I was like, oh, my God, what? I love Tetris.
Yeah, see, I didn't make the like video game connection so much as like I just saw it was like sexually arousing.
To you it was like I think because I saw it as a kid it didn't connect right. with me as a sexual thing, but I mean pleasure centers, yeah, they're giving them little brain orgasms.
Yeah,
all those pants, they're gonna have to wash every single uniform.
Mean for me it was just the noises that the people were making. Everyone's just walking around like but then I made the like connection of like watching this now in 2022 of like social media, right? It's like because they're like, oh, it's your lighting phones, up yeah. everyone's dopamine and serotonin, and like that's exactly what social media does. And like
Star Trek tried to warn us,
me, like, you know, people being like, you gotta try this game, that's me sending David TikToks every like couple minutes, like, you gotta watch this. Mm-hmm. Watch this one. Did you watch it? Did
and
you watch the
he
TikTok
watches and he
I
goes,
sent you? yeah, this us and our phones, and like cell phones weren't even a thing then, but here we are.
Well, computers were though, and computer games and yeah. particularly video games, so yeah. that was, I'm sure there's some sort of connection there. I mean, I already said that it was like Tetris. Actually, I'm reading a quote because I'm on Memory Alpha, which is the wiki for Star Trek. Jonathan Frakes said, it's a fun episode. It was like ODing on Nintendo. But he did say the graphic was kind of stupid. It was a tuba on a checkered board, which is a pretty good explanation because it's just the disc goes in there. And it turns out it goes in whether you play it or not. So
yeah.
It's on easy mode anyway.
But that's like how social media is now. Like you think about the autoplay on the videos on like Instagram, right? You're scrolling Instagram.
Maybe
you
this
don't
is
even
where they
have
got the
to,
idea.
You don't even have to hit play anymore. Like it'll just play, right? Or like TikTok, like there's no home page mm-hmm. for TikTok. You open the app and it just starts playing a video.
It's just videos.
Yeah,
here you go, good luck, don't become racist.
Yeah, so a lot of good metaphors here. And I know that both of these were supposed to be bad, but I liked them both. This one, I know you're gonna ask which one was good and which one was bad. I know this one's supposed to be the bad one. It's definitely weird, but I wouldn't call it bad, honestly. I think it was interesting.
I picked one that I like it, but it's not considered to be one of the good episodes. It's certainly more science fictiony than the first one. You said the first
right.
one was much very character driven.
Right.
This one is more plot driven, I think.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but yeah, I don't know that I consider this really a bad episode. It's just not, it's not great. I don't think they ever used Wesley very well. Leffler never shows up again. We never hear anything from her again in canon. She's in some of the books, but we
really?
Never hear from her again.
This is it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so frustrating. I was rooting for those
I
kids.
I shouldn't have told you. You would have been waiting the whole series to be like, oh my God, when are they coming back? Did they get married?
Did they have kids? Like, what's happening?
No. Actually, Wesley goes back to the Academy and gets caught up in kind of a scandal. And I think somebody dies. And it's not his fault, but he covers it up. And so he gets demoted a year at the Academy, so he has to repeat a year, which seems silly to me because I'm like, so he already did those classes. He's not going to be learning anything. Does he have to take different classes? That's just going to help him. I don't know. But yeah, so his character, they just chronically underserved. He's in two more episodes after this one, I believe. And he pops up in a movie, but only in the the director's cut or the widescreen edition. So if you, because the movie came out when there were still full screen versions, if you saw that, you didn't see Wesley Crusher. It was the last movie in 2002. So the main character of this one is actually Wesley.
Yeah, that's easy.
The guest star. Yeah, which is interesting because he was main cast, then he left, and so he came back on the episode. What did you like about it? I feel like we talked a little bit about some of the stupid stuff, but what did you like in it?
You know, I like the just like the metaphor in general of this addictive.
It's ahead of its time.
Yeah. It was very ahead of its time because it's like this is a very applicable thing now. And like you look at clips from this episode on YouTube and all the comments are just like, this be us in our phones. Like, this what we look like now. We look so dumb. Just walk around on our phones. Phone bad. You know, I think there's, like, a lot of interesting messages to take away from this one. So I didn't hate that overall. I liked the silliness of it, too.
We talked about what you liked. You probably don't have any more questions. You already said there's no more questions because if you would just watch more of them.
Yeah.
Some interesting backstory for you that wouldn't have been clear in this episode. So Wesley's dad is dead. They don't really talk about it in this episode, but he died on a mission on another starship, and that starship was the Stargazer where Captain Picard was in command. And his dad, Jack Crusher, died saving another crew member, but Picard was ultimately responsible for the ship. And so it was a rough time. Picard actually brought the body home to Wesley and Dr. Crusher. And Picard was also in love with Dr. Crusher, so it's super awkward. So when Wesley shows up, Picard's super uncomfortable with kids. He's like, get the fuck out of here, get off my bridge. And then Dr. Crusher's like, hey, this is my son. And he's like, oh no, I gotta be cool because I love Dr. Crusher.
Oh no.
So they end up having like a little mentor relationship, which was interesting, but the whole backstory there I thought is interesting, and they didn't really do much with it. Like, I would have expected to carry on, but Dr. Crusher never got to really be the match with Captain Picard. They always kind of hinted at it, and then it never went anywhere. It was very disappointing. But just to give you some background between the three of them. Trying to think, any final thoughts on your episodes this week with Next Generation?
I'm probably going to watch more. I mean, last night, part, you know, it might be because I had a migraine, but like it just started auto-playing the next episode, and I was like, sure, go ahead.
What was the next one after this?
It's when Spock's dad dies, and I'm not mixing it up. It was Spock's dad.
It was. Here's the thing. Spock shows up in that episode.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's a crossover. So they did a handful because the series jumped 75 years in the future. It was hard to cross over too much with the original series. And the rule in the beginning of Next Generation is that you weren't allowed to. They said, no, we got to get away from that. This is our own show. Except they had Dr. McCoy in the first episode. But because Vulcans are very long-lived, you could have the Vulcan characters come back and they can look whatever their real age is. And it's like, whatever, that's fine. That's just how they look. So it is kind of cool to see Spock hanging out with Captain Picard. It's a two-parter. I should, I can send you the episode guide if you want that I made for Alex, because that'll tell you which ones are skippable and which ones are actually good. Because there are a lot that focus on the characters. But the problem with it is it's very episodic, right? Like, not every episode matters, not everything carries over, but you lose some of the character beats if you don't watch all of them.
I think I'll just watch it because it's like, I'll probably just watch it while I do laundry and shit. It seems like it'll be a good background kind of show.
Yeah, I was telling Chris that I wish that we were doing like a full watch of a series or all of them or whatever. It says 842 individual episodes or movies released across all of this. So it would be that's a lot. You know, that's more than 10 years of weekly episodes.
Yeah. But, David's brother and sister-in-law, when the pandemic started, they watched all of Star Trek, like start to finish.
Yeah. I was working on that. So in 2019, I was going to the gym and I was rewatching Enterprise and I did Deep Space Nine. Like I've watched all of them in the pandemic, basically, except the original series, which I will not watch. But it's a good show to have on the background. I'll send you the list just because there are some that I think are worth sitting and watching versus some that are worth like, okay, I'm gonna clean or you know, do something else while I watch it.
Yeah,
but I'm glad you liked it, because I knew starting with the original series was gonna be rough, because it's just
bad.
It is very rough around the edges. It's a base. It sets the base, but the base is unsturdy until you get to Next Generation. So next week we're going to Deep Space Nine. A little bit of background. Deep Space Nine started while Next Generation was still being produced. So they overlapped, I think, 2 years or so of episodes. And there were a couple stories in Next Generation that set up stuff in Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
And actually, Picard shows up in the first episode. So it takes place on a space station, so they're not on a ship. Though later in the series, they do get a ship. It's not a captain at first. It's a commander, like Riker, same level. But it's a black guy. People hated that. They hated that he wasn't a captain. They hated it wasn't on a ship. They hated that he was a black guy. It was a whole thing. So just like this, they hated the change. And when I was a kid, I didn't really watch it. I watched a little bit, but the first season, which is another theme in Star Trek, the first season was real bad. But it gets so good. And by the end of it, they started dabbling in continuity. And so the last 10 episodes are one long story to close out the series, and it's fantastic. That one in particular is one that I wish you were going to watch all of, but we'll see how you feel about the episodes. I haven't decided which ones to give you yet, so if you're listening and want to let me know what you think Becca should watch, give me a shout. I know which one is going to be the bad one. I don't know which one's going to be the good one yet.
Nice.
There's a lot of good ones.
Well,
actually, if I look at my list here of episodes, I have more good episodes flagged for Deep Space Nine than any other one.
Wow.
Which it's not even really my favorite series. It's just a very good series all the way through.
And Picard is in Deep Space Nine, you said?
He shows up in the first episode.
Oh.
So what happens is, because I'm not having you watch the first episode, is I told you Picard gets assimilated, right?
Yes.
While he's assimilated by the Borg fly towards Earth. They call it Sector 001. And they stop at Wolf 359, which is a real star, apparently. It's close to Earth, relatively. And they kill, it's 39 ships that they destroy out of a fleet of 40. And the 40th ship, I think, was still pretty badly damaged. But Sisko, who is the commander of Deep Space Nine, was on one of those ships, and his wife dies in that battle. So when he almost leaves Starfleet, but he ends up working at the shipyards on Mars and building this prototype ship, which becomes relevant later. But he has a son, so he's a single black dad. And his wife dies, and he has a hard time getting over it. And he meets these aliens, because they find a wormhole in the first episode, that are like, you exist here. They're non-linear, and they don't understand time. He's like, I don't know how to explain to you. It's like a baseball game. And we'll talk about it a lot next week. But he's essentially the commander of the space station. Picard comes, and Picard's like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. I'm so glad you're doing it. This station is really important for this planet. And Sisko's being kind of a dick, and Picard's like, I'm sorry, have we met before? And Sisko's like, yeah, we met on the field of battle, bitch.
Yeah.
And they start off rough. So it's an interesting dynamic, because Picard is like our hero. We love Picard. And to have the new captain come and be like, no, you fucking suck, you killed my wife, is interesting. And there's episodes of Next Generation that deal with Picard, the fallout for Picard of that battle, and how it really wrecked him mentally. And that becomes a lot in the movies and in the new series too. But so that kind of sets it up. So Picard's there. It's kind of a tradition to have someone from the old or one of the older series show up in the first episode of the next one. But yeah, I'm excited for you to watch it. I like it.
Nice.
There are two, maybe even three. There are three episodes of Deep Space Nine that I really love. One of them deals very heavily with racism. It actually takes place in the 50s. It's complicated. And then there's one that deals with the relationship between Sisko and his kid that I love. I cry when I watch it. And there's one that takes place during a war that happens during the series that is like political maneuvering, is very, very good. So it's going to be hard to pick which one, but we'll figure it out before we record next.
I'm laughing because I have Twitter up in a tab, and I see this video that you retweeted where it's a guy wearing shorts and someone sprays water on the shorts and there's like a little alligator pattern that pops up. And someone quote tweeted and said, wearing this saying, look, guys, you have to see this, and pissing my pants.
Yeah, someone posted that yesterday, and I'm very excited. Those are going to be great shorts. You could get them for lactating moms, too.
You guys got to see this.
It's really important. You're going to love this. Well, all right. Let's call it for the week, and we'll see you next time for Deep Space Nine.